Konopka, Ms. Boyle.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Bridget Boyle, and I represent Mr. Joseph Konopka. There are basically two issues presented for review in this case. The first issue is whether or not the trial court erred in not allowing Mr. Konopka to withdraw his plea. The second issue is whether or not the sentence that was imposed in this matter was in violation of the Booker/Blakely types of cases. As it relates to the motion to withdraw, and I will address that first, there is a unique issue that is presented in this matter as it relates to counts 9 and 10 in which Mr. Konopka was convicted of.
I need to get something clear.
Certainly.
Are you arguing that the plea was not knowing and voluntary because neither he nor the lawyer understood that convictions on both 9 and 10 raised double jeopardy problems, or are you arguing that the substantive double jeopardy claim that multiple convictions for the same conduct can't be imposed?
I did not represent Mr. Konopka at the trial court level. It is at least how the record appears to me. The initial claim before the judge was that he did not fully understand, based upon the moving papers submitted by trial counsel, that he did not fully understand that it was going to be a 10-year consecutive sentence. However, when Judge Adelman issued his decision in this matter, which was a very lengthy decision, and he went through a number of different things, he specifically identified the issue about the underlying counts 9 and 10 and that double jeopardy claim. So I would have to say, to answer your question, that it's the second prong, because I would submit that even if Mr. Konopka didn't specifically say to Judge Adelman that this is the specific claim, that double jeopardy bars the conviction on counts 9 and 10, I don't think that Mr. Konopka, I would have to say that Mr. Konopka can't give up the right to claim that, because it is absolutely in violation of double jeopardy, at least how I read the statutes and how I read the cases. In other words, and I know this court decided United States versus Colvin sometime in the latter part of 2003, and that was a rehearing en banc decision. I would have to say that Mr. Konopka's matter is distinguishable from that case because, as it relates to counts 9 and 10 in Mr. Konopka's matter, I submit, in essence, they're both arson charges for the same conduct. Unlike in the Colvin matter, where it was the underlying felony was a violation of housing rights, and the 844H was added on to give him a consecutive sentence. For instance, if an individual goes into a bank...
So you're saying the bonus punishment here was on top of an actual arson?
That is what
arson
I'm saying.
Arson was the offense, and fire was the enhancer.
Correct.
Yeah, it does seem a little strange.
For instance, Congress... The government's position is that Congress allows for it. I submit that is not what Congress allows for, and I cited a case out of the first district, United States versus Patel, which has an interesting footnote in it that addresses the issue specifically, and I have cited it in my brief, but arson cannot be charged as a predicate felony because arson and using fire to commit arson is a redundancy. Congress allows, for instance, in a bank robbery, if a person goes in and says, I have a gun, Congress allows for an enhancement because under the old system of the guidelines, the guideline range could be very low on a bank robbery, and therefore Congress says we're not going to allow people to come in and commit bank robberies with guns or threats of weapons.
But here's my sort of surface problem. Guilty pleas can waive even a double jeopardy claim.
Correct.
Now, is he challenging the fact that the pleas were knowing and voluntary?
I think he has to challenge it only because I would agree with you that double jeopardy can be waived. But I think that the defendant has to affirmatively state, I am waiving any claim to double jeopardy, or I am waiving any appellate issues as it relates to arguing that. However, there is nothing in the record to support that Mr. Konopka waived that knowingly, voluntarily, and intelligently. So therefore, it falls back on the original claim that Mr. Konopka had that the trial court erred in not allowing him to withdraw his plea. I think that Mr. Konopka, if the district court believed that there was some sort of issue that rose to the level of allowing Mr. Konopka to withdraw his plea, such as a fair and just reason, which is the standard, if he claimed that he didn't understand things because he was under the influence of intoxicants or some sort of drug while he was entering his plea, I think that fundamentally goes to his ability to knowingly, intelligently withdraw his plea. In this matter, Mr. Konopka entered a plea that could not be knowingly, intelligently, and voluntarily made because of the fact that counts 9 and 10 cannot exist as a basis for a double conviction.
Well, in the district court, didn't he assert that he didn't understand that the convictions under count 9 and 10 would violate double jeopardy?
I would have to submit, and I would defer to the government, Mr. Ingram, but I, based upon my review of the record, I don't think that was specifically stated in his moving papers that the double jeopardy claim exists. I think that his specific claim was that it was knowingly not made and voluntarily and intelligently not made based upon the fact that he did not know that it would have to be a 10-year consecutive sentence to his Northern District of Illinois matter. And I think that's where the judge may have taken that to address the double jeopardy issue under Colvin and Cheney and the other cases that the Judge Adelman cited as it relates to the double jeopardy issue.
What are his motives for all this crime spree? Are they financial or ideological or just a loony or what?
I don't know if I could, to use your words, classify him as a little loony. I think it's idealistic that the decisions that he made to engage in these crimes.
Is he hostile to electricity? Is it something like that? To modernity? Is it like a Unabomber sort of thing? He doesn't like progress or something?
I think there is a number of reasons that...
What does he say? Does he explain his goals? Does he embrace this name of Dr. Chaos? Is that his...
I don't think he embraces it now. I think any time a person's put in custody that their views change.
But he used to call himself that. Is that correct?
That is my understanding.
So he just likes to destroy things or why?
I think at the time he did. I don't think that he does now.
No, he doesn't do that now, but I mean...
He doesn't have an opportunity
just
now.
Just wondering what the motive for the crime was.
I can't specifically state the motive. I do find him to be a very intelligent man and probably one of the more intelligent clients that I've come in contact with.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Boyle.
Thank you very much. And as it relates, just briefly, as it relates to the Booker issue, I certainly have heard the court ask all counsel that have previously made oral arguments today. I am not going to state anything in specific as it relates to that issue. I know there is great concern as to, from a defense standpoint, of bringing a client back in where there is no floor and no ceiling. So I will just leave it at what has been submitted in the brief itself.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ingraham?
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Stephen Ingram. I'm an assistant United States attorney from the Eastern District of Wisconsin. I also represented the United States in the district court in this case. Your Honors, I respectfully request that this court affirm the district court's denial.
I don't understand this arson on arson business. That doesn't seem to make any sense at all.
Your Honor, what the district court found was that it was what...
I mean, it's like saying you're punished more severely if you commit arson by fire.
How can you have arson without fire?
The what the district court found was that this was a permissible use of the enhancement because it's what Congress intended.
What's the evidence that Congress intended it?
That the it's what the Colvin decision found.
No, Colvin is different, as I understand. Colvin is a cross-burning case.
That's
cross-burning, of course, involves fire. But it's not arson, right? Because not a fire. Generally, it is not a fire hazard. It's not setting fire to a building or something. It's a symbolic a gesture. It uses fire. But and so Congress can say, well, you know, anything that uses fire is dangerous. But when someone is punished for arson, the fact that fire is dangerous, that's built into the very heavy sentence for arson. That's why arson is heavily punished, because fire is dangerous. And since all of the punishment for the danger is in the arson punishment, it wouldn't make any sense for a general statute about enhancing punishments for use of fire to apply to arson, which has already been enhanced because of that. Look how severe the punishment for arson is.
Your Honor, the Colvin case, which you distinguish it, you clearly believe that this is double counting in effect. But we did not see it that way. It seemed to us.
No, you don't see it that way. But what's your reason? You don't have any reason. What's the logic of it? Right? Completely asinine. Is it Congress thought arson is insufficiently published, insufficiently punished?
Well, the amendment to the statute after the Busick case in the Supreme Court did seem to indicate a further underscoring by Congress that that this was an intended to be an enhancement.
Yeah, but it doesn't square with arson. That's the heart of arson. What is arson without fire? And can you be convicted of arson?
There is no...
Right. There's no arson without fire. So I don't get it either.
Well, the district...
And nothing in the definition of arson severs the fire part, right?
No, it doesn't. No, the district court found, and we believed in charging it, that the statute allowed it, that there was no necessarily logical contradiction to charging it, that the statute...
But as you say, it's a matter of... I was just looking through... What is the maximum sentence for arson?
Your Honor, I believe it's 20 years. I'm not certain of that, but I believe it's 20 years.
Is that true if it's a home or something like that?
I'm not sure. This was a commercial building, so I don't know.
Well,
the previous case, this court found that charging the two statutes violated double jeopardy was in effect superseded, as the district court found, by a combination of Colvin and the amending of the statute that Congress did after that after that earlier case.
You feel like you've come to a library, don't you?
Well,
we're all looking at statute.
Cheney was the prior case in this court, and but it was before the amendment, and it was before Congress underscored that that the statute could be used as an enhancement for a crime involving fire.
But now that we've discussed this, it doesn't make sense to you, does it?
I can't square it or give us some
rationale for it.
I don't want to say that it doesn't make sense, because it seems, although I understand that...
I mean, in this situation, when arson is the crime.
I understand.
I understand how it applies when arson is not the crime. I mean, I'm fine with that.
Right. I understand, Your Honor. It seems that the reasons undergirding the Cheney decision of this court were superseded, as the district court found. And it did seem that the Colvin case, although it doesn't involve arson, did essentially show that the Colvin case seemed to approve the use of these two statutes together. So the district court found that. We believe that it was so. I can see that I'm not persuading this panel at all.
Well, part of the problem is that there is confusion within our own cases. I mean, that's what I think. And, you know, we've got other circuits who've reached different conclusions than ours. I mean, I think that there are inconsistencies in our past opinions, to be perfectly honest. Well, I don't know if I should be saying that, but I'm saying it.
It did seem that the Cheney case was superseded by subsequent events, both by the amending of the statute and as well as by this court's Colvin case. We waited to sentence Mr. Konopka until the Colvin case was decided, and then the parties could more fully explore the use of these two statutes in light of the Colvin opinion. And it did seem, both to the government and to the district court in this case, that the use of these two statutes in this case turned on this court's Colvin decision. I can see, however, that since we're talking here about arson rather than cross burning or church arson or church arson or something like that, it's likely this
may not, this doesn't fit.
Well, you shouldn't be conceding anything until we reconsider some of our opinions.
Yeah, I'm not conceding it. I'm saying that I can see the way the wind is blowing, but it did seem to us that this court's Colvin decision and combined with the amending of the statute did allow for the use of these two statutes together. So, Your Honors, unless there are further questions, I rest on my brief.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Ingram.
Thank you.
Ms. Foyle, do you have anything further?
Just briefly. I think that on its face there could be construed some confusion. However, I think when you examine the language in Patel, and I know that is not a controlling case here, however, in Patel, the underlying offense...
You mean the First Circuit case?
Yes, but only for the language as it relates to the confusion, because you have to look at the underlying crime. In that matter, it was a mail fraud charge. Fire was used in the commission of the crime, so therefore, that allowed for the enhancer. In this matter, in the Colvin matter, again, the underlying crime is a violation of housing rights. Fire was used in order to commit that crime, so therefore the enhancer. In this matter, the government has indicted Mr. Konopka with a fire charge and another fire charge for the same building, and I submit that it can't be done based upon double jeopardy argument. It's the same offense.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Last case for argument, United States versus Goldberg, Mr. Stone.